in progress as I preach and teach the Word of God. Let us pray. Eternal and everlasting Father, we come before your presence as we celebrate your name. We enter into a covenant agreement with you because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, Heavenly Father, this day for a word that comes directly from you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will bless it, that we may be able to fulfill our eternal destiny as we march towards the kingdom. Father, we love you, for truly you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. We ask this now in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Giving honor to God, to my brothers and sisters in the ministry, Reverend Cotton, to you, the Antioch family, those that are listening by Radio Paradise Ministry, those of you that are watching by internet, we greet you yet again in the blessed name of our Lord and blessed Savior, Jesus the Christ. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, there's a word from the Lord that is taken from Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Sister Mathis, I'm probably going to go 3 through about 5 instead of 3. Isaiah 40, 3 through 5. And when you have found it, say amen. Where we find these words, which are recorded. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord have spoken it. Thank you. You may be seated. From those scripture verses, we want to use for a topic, proclamation. The message came before the messenger. Proclamation. The message came before the messenger. There was a proclamation before his arrival. And we are talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. It has been said by theologians and teachers and in religious historical writings that there were over 400 prophecies regarding his coming before he arrived, and how there are over 300 prophecies that have been fulfilled by Jesus Christ himself after he arrived. Proclamation before his arrival suggests something so significant that we, under what we call the dispensation of grace, should be able to put together and understand what God was doing on behalf of his people. For God will always give us evidence of what he's about to do before he does it by giving us signs and wonders and revealing all of the things that he desires through prophets, to preachers, to teachers, and through the elements of the world, or the firmaments. My brothers and sisters, one of the things I want to suggest and ask to you this morning, are you prepared for Christmas? You don't have to answer that. Are you really prepared for Christmas? It takes more than a tree to find the real joy in Christmas. What then do you need to enjoy Christmas? I want to ask another question. What do you think about when you think about Christmas? Is it Christ or is it other things? One of the things I think, of course, we all think of Christmas at times. We think of trees and beautiful decorations. There's nothing wrong with that. We think of what we can give our friends, and we think of what we can give our family for Christmas, and that's good too. We even have to think about what we want for Christmas as well. Those things seem to be materialistic. There's a story I want to share that my sister calls at times. I only have one living sister now. And she called and asked, what do I want for Christmas? And the only thing I could think of was, I really need a workout suit because I really put on too much weight. Sometime, Antioch, you have to think about things that you need, but we really don't need much. There's a real problem today in a global society, in a materialistic society. But when we begin to think of the things of Christmas more than we think about Christ of Christmas, we lose the reasons. Christmas have become so materialistic today, and we might as well call it cashmas. For we often go into debt by thousands of dollars during a Christmas season. What has really happened, Daryl, to Christmas? I'm reminded of the day when we were just fortunate, Sister Matthew and I talked, maybe a peppermint stick or an orange. But the more affluent we become as a nation, and there's nothing wrong with being affluent, but the more affluent we become as a nation, the more materialistic we become as a people as well. Think back over a generation. I'm talking to the baby boomers, how we was overjoyed at the fact that it was a Christmas season. Now fast forward that by some 50, 70 years, and how much do our children see Christmas the way we saw Christmas? We were grateful to get a pair of socks or shoes, and our kids now get cell phones and they get iPads and they get all of these amenities. And guess what, Dara? Many of them are not even grateful for it. How many times have they said thank you for what you went out of your way and charged on the credit card? And how often have they said thank you? My brothers and sisters, the department stores and online shopping are at the make or at the breaking point, and so are people at a financial breaking point. They are making money left and right. Sometimes the internet, the online shopping get shut down because we're spending so much money. Are we materialistic today? It's a good question. What is the first thing you do to get ready for Christmas? Does it involve things or people or the Lord? Are you angry at someone and not speaking to them this Christmas? Do you get upset because you don't have enough money to do what you want for Christmas? This is an examination of where we have gone with the Christ in Christmas, for Christ is Christmas. My brothers and sisters, the real Christmas story in the book of Luke begins with a message from an angel. The message is about John and what he will do to prepare the people for the coming of Christ. In our last message, we talked about waiting on the promise. And he discussed how Zechariah and Elizabeth had no children, and women who had no children suffered deep shame during those times. We shared how an angel said to Zechariah, "Do not be afraid, for your prayers is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." In this message, we will see the proclamation about Christ coming. So we talked about the promise last week. And this morning, we will talk about the proclamation about Christ coming. First, if we define the word proclamation, a proclamation is defined as a public or official announcement, especially one dealing with a matter of great importance. Gabriel is an archangel who is mentioned in the Old and New Testament. He is also known as a messenger, standing in the presence of God, and he is sent forth bearing good news of Jesus' coming birth. We are also told how Gabriel gave Isaiah a message concerning the coming of the Messiah King. My brothers and sisters, the message came before the messenger. The message came before the messenger. God allowed a message to get to the earth before his son came so that we would be ready to receive the messenger. And the messenger would fulfill the prophecy which had been proclaimed. When we think about Isaiah and his prophecy, we see all of the things that have been sanctioned, declared, and decreed for the world to comprehend and the world to know. For there was God's proclamation. In Isaiah 40 and 3, it states, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a pathway or a highway for our God." The prophecy foreshadowed the life of John the Baptist, who played an important role in preparing the groundwork for the ministry of Jesus Christ. "Prepare ye the way, John, make his path straight." So God was setting up one who would come before the Messiah King, but he had to prepare the way. A proclamation had to be stated before Christ would come into the world. John fulfilled the prophecy by proclaiming a message of repentance and baptism for the forgiveness of sin. And what we need to understand, that when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is not about any attributes that we have. It is not about my education, my degrees, the way I articulate. It is not about the knowledge base that I may acquire. It is about what Jesus himself came into this world, suffered and died, fulfilled all of the prophecies.
We pray something said today has encouraged you in your personal relationship with the Lord. If you would like to have a copy of this message, you can email us at antiochmathis@bellsouth.net, or you can send a love offering of $8 to Paradise Ministry, P.O. Box 281, Woodworth, Louisiana, 21485. As always, we hope to see you in church.
The Unstoppable Wade Hampton Show.
Why don't you touch somebody and tell them that you love them? Get on.